Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. I'm pleased to have with us once again this morning, Crystal Henry of Ozark PT Specialists. Crystal, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, you've got exciting news to share with us this morning. You guys have just moved to a brand new location.
We did. We just relocated to the corner of College and Coley. We have a new approximately 6,000 square foot facility to make room for new equipment and some additional services that we wanted to offer. We're really excited.
That's a big space.
That is a big space.
That's a big space. You get to do a lot of different therapies in there. And individuals, when they require physical therapy, they can choose their own physical therapist.
Yes, they can.
And they can work directly with you guys and take care of, you know, those nagging injuries, recovering from surgery, all those different things right there in one place.
That's right. We offer occupational therapy, speech therapy, and physical therapy. We specialize in orthopedic rehab. We have a certified hand therapist, which is myself, on staff. I'm the only one in the area. And so
it's kind of a big deal.
That's kind of a big deal. It's one of those things.
I know
things
you're not going to toot your own horn, so I'll toot it for you, but it's kind of a big deal.
It's one of those things, you know, you don't really, people don't generally know what that is or what that entails unless you have a need for it. So if you have a pretty serious injury to your upper extremity and you have to go to see a specialist, in St. Louis or Springfield, they're going to probably look me up and send you to me.
You're a local gal, native to Mountain Home. Why did you choose to go into physical therapy?
Well, I was originally trying to decide between physical therapy and occupational therapy. And during my college years, I would do some observation time with physical therapy and some with occupational therapy, trying to make up my mind. And I was just fascinated with the upper extremity and all the intricacies of the way your fingers move and the tendons and the way the bones move. And it just fascinated me. And so
what's the difference of physical therapy and occupational therapy for a layman?
Well, it depends on what area that you are working in or as a patient that you're being seen in. For instance, in a rehab unit, physical therapy is going to work more on gross motor skills, where occupational therapy is going to work more on fine motor skills. In a outpatient setting, such as where we work in our clinic, physical therapy is going to work more with the larger joints of the body, with your hips, knees, feet and ankle, lower extremity, and back and neck. And occupational therapy would primarily work with the upper extremity, shoulder, elbow, wrist, and hand.
Do you do a lot of hip and knee in this area?
My husband does. Our PTs do, yeah.
Ozark PT Specialist is a husband and wife team, Crystal Henry's husband, Paul. You guys started in business a few years ago, and then you've just kept, this is your third move, is that correct?
It is.
You just keep getting bigger and bigger.
We just keep growing and growing. We've been in the community for a really long time. We've been therapists for about 20 years, so we have a lot of experience under our belt and have pursued advanced certifications in specialty areas. So we had a reputation in this community as providing good care before we went out on our own, and we've really been blessed. We are so thankful to Mountain Home for the growth that we've had, and we've just outgrown. But this is large enough to, we're staying here. We're never moving again.
Never say never, right? You're a certified hand therapist, but your husband, Paul, he specializes in foot in orthotics, and has a unique has a specialty that's unique to this area as well.
That's right. He has performed custom foot orthotics for many, many years. He pioneered a athletic injury prevention program with the girls' athletics department here in the school system in Mountain Home. This was several years ago, and
it was about 25, if memory serves me correctly.
You remember, huh? Yeah. So, and in the time frame that he implemented that program, he reduced their ACL injuries by a significant percentage. And I wish I had those statistics. I don't remember. It was very impressive. And it was through the use of custom foot orthotics. It changes the way the foot lands on the ground. And then that therefore changes the angle of pressure at the knee. And so it really reduced ACL injuries. So that's one application for his custom foot orthotics. Another application is just to, you know, if you're not an athlete and you have hip and knee pain, a lot of times orthotics can help with that as well as foot and ankle pain. But he does a particular casting method he utilizes, and it's kind of an old-fashioned technique with all the computerized technology that we have available. It's very common to see people stepping on a plate and it'll make a map of their foot, but in a box of foam, that's another method that is often utilized to make custom foot orthotics. And those are custom devices, but oftentimes they produce a pathological position of the foot because it's in weight bearing. So when the foot mm-hmm. goes into weight bearing, it changes the way those bones move. Paul does his molding in a non-weight bearing position. And so he has the patient up off the ground and he is positioning the foot. Mm-hmm. And he spends about an hour with each patient when he does a custom foot orthotics consultation, and he watches them walk and he does a full gait analysis. And so by the time that he sends the molds that he's made to California, which is the lab that we utilize to make them, he's got a good picture of what that patient needs overall, instead of just a picture of, you know, like when you draw around a foot and you're on a piece of paper.
So. Well, because no two people are the same. I mean, mm-hmm. when it comes to their gait and,
right.
and the degree, I mean, like you said, the degree of their hips and their knee and mm-hmm. everyone's feet do something a little different.
They
I mean,
do. They really do.
They either go inward or, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy different things going
yeah.
on. And a lot of times, you know, that can affect, that's what's affecting the knee and hip pain.
Truly.
That your patients are realizing.
A lot of times, yeah. So he also does, he also specializes in spinal pain management. He went through several courses at the International Academy of Orthopedic Medicine, which is across, it's actually an international educational series, and he has, over the past 15 to 20 years, he's just attended several of those courses. And
that treats injuries such as?
If someone's had a car accident, whiplash, mm-hmm. that's one that just comes off the top of my head, but also back pain, just chronic back pain, herniated discs. Of course, if someone has a surgical issue, if you need surgery, Paul and I have a saying, if you need surgery when you come to therapy, we can't remove that, you know, we can't change a surgical issue. But oftentimes there are conservative options available that might help you delay surgery or might help improve your recovery after surgery.
Sure, sure. And therapy can sometimes, I mean, if you catch it early enough and you can rehab that area, sometimes you don't need the surgery.
True, yes.
You got to catch it early.
Yep, you got to catch it early, exactly.
Yeah. Why is it we all seem to suffer from back pain as we age? I mean, is it just absolutely the wear and tear on our body, the golf swing or the, mm-hmm. you know, the different CrossFit workout? Or, I mean, or even, you know, just some people are more prone to back pain. You know, it could be our weight, could be how we've walked over the years. I mean, there's all kinds of different things.
Truly. It's just a variety of factors. It can be genetic predisposition. It can be trauma that you've incurred over the years. I was rear-ended by an 18-wheeler, and so obviously I'm going to have different issues than I would have if I hadn't had that happen. Mm-hmm. Or people, their occupation, people that work overhead a lot, they often have neck pain and shoulder issues. So it's a variety of factors. But as we get older, we weren't made to last forever. Our bodies weren't made to last forever.
We need to tell our mind that.
Right.
Our back and our minds are not it.
They're not in jive.
You know, I read an article, and I think we talked about this on a show earlier this summer, but that sitting, so many of us sit for such long periods at work during the day, that is becoming a true health crisis.
It truly is. It truly is. Just hours of prolonged sitting without getting up and moving, and just the length of time that you spend sitting versus standing and moving, it really changes the dynamics of what happens in your back and with your discs. And we're seeing a lot of chronic pain syndromes just from sitting and being sedentary.
Are we just getting lazy?
I think technology has a lot to do with it.
Because Netflix, technology,
yeah,
we're staring at our phone.
Even jobs, the types yeah. of jobs that are out there, you know, robotics has taken over a lot of the physical mm-hmm. demands that used to be present, and a lot of jobs are, we're just sitting and looking at a computer and take care. And for ourselves, even though we are up and working with patients, we have to document everything that we do. And so we spend a lot of time sitting ourselves. We fight it ourselves. We'll get up and exercise and then go back and document.
Sure. Do you have a recommendation for individuals? I mean, we're obsessed with the wearable technologies and counting steps and watching our heart rate and all that kind of stuff. You know, while we sit at our desk, we're sitting there watching it, see if we gain it. But I mean, it start off with a person needs 10,000 steps, you know, needs to average 10,000 daily steps, mm-hmm. you know, and that would be good. But then they came out and said 15,000. I mean, in your uh-huh. research, have you seen anything like
well,
that?
Well, I think I've gone through several phases of fitness myself.
We all have.
We have. So I would just say having a good, healthy balance, and they they used to say 20 minutes, minimum of 20 minutes mm-hmm. of activity that would make you sweat, get mm-hmm. your heart rate up to the point that would make you sweat. And that's different for everybody. But I would say a good half an hour at least, you know, preferably up to an hour four times a week would be good. But it's hard to fit that in. When you're a mom and you work. And
it seems like 4 a.m. is about the only time.
That is, yeah. That's the only time I've been successful at getting it in regularly.
Is walking still the best exercise that a person could do if they're going to just do one?
Walking, it depends on what pace that you walk at and depends on what your goals are for mm-hmm. fitness. If you're, then the condition of a person's joints. Some people's joints can't take doing more than walking. And if someone is heavier and they have a lot of weight that they're carrying, a high impact activity would possibly be destructive to their joints. So it's really an individual decision, and everybody's different. So what's good for one person might not be the best for another.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters, KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting again with Crystal Henry of Ozark PT Specialist. Brand new location at the corner of Coley and College. You want people to come by and check it out if they have time, right?
Yes. We have an open house scheduled for June 16th, I think from 11 to 1.
Probably. That sounds good. You can probably listen to the stations of KTLO for more information on that.
That's
as well.
Right.
You know, and you'll have all kinds of different things going on. If someone requires rehab or thinks that, you know, I need some physical therapy, can they just call you directly? Do they have to go through a physician? How does that process work?
They can definitely just call us directly, and we have several different options. If a person has Medicare and they want Medicare to cover the expense of their therapy, then they'll need a doctor's referral. But certain insurances don't require a doctor's referral. Mm-hmm. In fact, most insurances today don't require a doctor's referral. Some do.
That's different,
so
isn't it?
It is different. It's changing. Yeah. The face of healthcare is changing, and they're giving more control to patients to mm-hmm. choose where they want to go and take, you know, control of their own healthcare. And so,
does it have to be? Can it be your family doctor? Do you have to see an orthopedist or a special?
It can be any prescribing healthcare provider. So it could be if you have a relationship with a nurse practitioner and that's primarily who you see, mm-hmm. then they can certainly write a referral, or your family doctor, or of course if you have a relationship with your orthopedist and it's a complicated mm-hmm. joint issue, then probably you'd want to get a referral from your orthopedist.
We talked about you and your husband starting this several years ago, but you also, your other staff members, I mean, you've got a whole crew of people there.
We do now.
With all kinds of different specialties.
Mm-hmm. Melissa Henson, she's been my best friend for 18 years.
So you work with your best friend your husband?
And my husband. How lucky am I?
Okay.
And we all get along great. That's the real miracle of it. But Melissa Henson, she's a physical therapist, and she has experience in working with amputees, people that have lost a limb, and now they're working with a prosthesis in order to learn how to walk again. She has a lot of experience in that area. She has a lot of experience in working with patients who've had strokes, and she's also lymphedema certified, and so she treats mm-hmm. that special type of swelling that occurs often due to vascular issues or sometimes due to post-cancer treatments mm-hmm. that results in uncontrollable swelling, and it requires some specific massage techniques. It's a pretty intensive course of rehab, and she's certified in that as well.
Lymphedema in post-cancer treatments, I mean, how does that happen?
So just for example, if someone were to have breast cancer and they have radiation therapy, they have surgery to remove the lymph nodes that are closest to the area of malignancy in the breast, the lymph nodes in the axillary region. So when they take those lymph nodes out, it affects the way the body carries fluid away from the arm. And oftentimes the arm will just swell and collect that fluid and the body can't carry it away. And so one of the treatments that you would perform in lymphedema therapy is you would massage the arm in a very specific manner. There's certain stroking techniques and there's certain ways that you facilitate the movement of that fluid. And then it's combined with a bandaging technique that provides compression to the arm. And then the final stage would be getting a garment that would help to control the swelling long term. Because when someone has true lymphedema, it's going to be a condition that you have to manage throughout the course of your life. It's not something that you can just treat intermittently. It can be pretty serious.
Now, Does that only happen in patients who had to undergo radiation or any removal of the lymph nodes? I mean, is that separate from to someone who had to undergo chemo?
No, it can happen. It's more common with people that have had surgical removal of their lymph nodes or have had radiation. There's a lot of scar tissue that happens with radiation therapy. Mm-hmm. So it's most common with those people, but it also happens in the lower extremities. It can happen in bilateral or both legs due to vascular issues. And so the vascular system and the lymphatic system work hand in hand. And when those two things are not working together, you can have uncontrollable swelling that would benefit from this type of treatment. And it also can help prevent wounds in the lower extremities if it's a vascular issue. If you have a lot of swelling going on, it's going to affect how the body can get nutrition to the skin. And controlling that swelling can help control wounds or prevent them mm-hmm. from occurring in the future.
You also work, obviously, with a lot of post-operative patients. I mean, anyone who's gone in for a total knee, total hip, rotator cuff, all those things. I mean, you guys are the team that gets
sure
them
do,
back,
yeah.
back at life, back at doing what they want to do.
Yeah, we sure do. We see a lot of rotator cuff patients. That would primarily be myself or mm-hmm. My husband, and then total knee patients or ACL reconstructions. We see, if you have had surgery on a joint, you'll probably land in our camp.
Well, you've got two people in the studio. One's had rotator cuff and one's had a couple ACLs. So tell us, which one's more painful, the total knee
or
the,
my goodness.
the shoulder?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've had reconstructive shoulder surgery myself, and I have to say that was the most painful experience I've ever had in my life. And I've talked to patients. It's always interesting to find out, okay, so you've had a kidney stone. Which hurts worse, childbirth or the kidney stone? Which hurts worse, a total knee or a total shoulder? And you take inventory. And I would say knee surgery, like a total knee, and shoulder surgery are probably the two top painful situations.
Yeah, it just doesn't immediately go away, and
that's
our expectation. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to, as you guys always tell your patients, you have a protocol, you have to follow these rules, you have to go home and use your bands and do all those things. I mean, and you really do mm-hmm. if you want
to get back full function.
To get
you
back
do.
Full function,
yep.
And if
mm-hmm.
you don't, you know, it's such a critical time those first few days post op. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to do those things that you guys always tell us to do, right?
Yeah, and it depends on what the surgery is. So sometimes resting in that first phase is the most important phase. It just depends on what structures were repaired. So sometimes after a surgery, you might be instructed to not do anything for 4 weeks, and that's mm-hmm. really hard for a patient to be compliant with. Especially if someone's really active and they've got kids that are depending on them and they've got a job to get back to. Yeah. But following those instructions early on, and then, like you said, following the full course of your rehab protocol is the best way to get full function back after surgery. And that's our goal. We find it so rewarding to work with patients and get them back mm-hmm. to where they want to be and enjoying life.
So much of the post-op rehab has changed over the years, you know, whereas if you had a knee, you were non-weight-bearing afterwards, you know, 10, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. or if you had back surgery, you were supposed to, you know, lay immobile for a while. Now, you know, an hour after surgery, you're hopping out of the hospital and getting
in
your car.
Get it yeah, moving. Get it
you,
moving.
They want yep. you to get moving. You know, and is that, I mean, obviously to just start, you know, start that recovery process even sooner, help that circulation and get going?
Of course, the more normal you can move, the sooner you can move normally, the better. Mm-hmm. But again, it just really depends. It depends on what type of surgery someone had. So for instance, if someone had a rotator cuff repair and it was a massive tear and they had to repair 3 out of 4 muscles in your mm-hmm. rotator cuff, well, then that person's really going to need to hold still. But if they just had to repair, you know, one or a partial repair, then you can start it moving. So it really depends on the situation. But in general, as a blanket rule, getting moving as soon as possible is the best way to full recovery.
And that's when we look at you and go, have you lost your mind?
You want me to do what?
There are some techniques that patients can do leading up to surgery that will really help them. You know, if you're lost some strength in your upper body or in your core and you're about to go for a total knee or a total hip, you know, you need to have a stronger upper body because you're going to be depending on that
yes.
to kind of move you around.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then we have more and more, we see patients that are anticipating having their surgery and they'll come to us and say, you know, I want to be in top shape when I go into my surgery so I can recover quicker. And so sometimes we're even starting patients on a rehab program before they go through surgery in anticipation of helping them to come out on the other side even better.
And that definitely works.
It does work. It really does.
It's never a bad thing to try and get your body a little healthier before any of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Crystal Henry with Ozark Physical Therapy Specialist. You can give them a call at their brand new location here in Mountain Home, 424-2224, or visit their website, ozarkptspecialist.com, and check out their new location at the corner of Coley and College. Huh, that's a mouthful.
It's a lot of C's.
Hey, we'll see you in a couple weeks with your open house.
Sounds great. Look forward to it. Thank you, Heather.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.